Land acknowledgements are often presented in shared spaces where we gather in person, but on a podcast, we recognize that each one of us occupies space on Indigenous land. We call on you, our listeners, to acknowledge that Indigenous people are the original inhabitants and caretakers of this land and have distinctive and sovereign rights and responsibilities that are directly connected to land, community, culture, and knowledge. With this in mind, please take the time to find out what territory you are on at native-land.ca and make a move to support our amazing Indigenous firecrackers like Jennifer Podemski, Marie Clements, Jules Kustachin, Tamara Podemski, Tracy Deer, and so many more. Hey, Firecrackers, it's Naomi, and welcome to the Firecracker Department. All right, you're in for a treat. You're in for a double treat, because normally, yeah, I have a conversation with an incredible artist from our Firecracker community. But this time, we're doing like a mashup to end all mashups with the one and only Alana Johnston. Now, Alana had a podcast called the Self-Esteem Party Podcast, and that has since, I think, been shelved because she's got other fish to fry. But January, which is when we actually recorded this, back in January, her podcast was going strong and Firecracker Department still going strong. So we decided to do a little mashup. So it's kind of a fun conversation because she asks me some questions, I ask her some questions, and we have a ton of laughs. I love Alana Johnston so much. I've loved her since we used to improvise back in the day in Toronto. She now lives in Los Angeles. And she's just one of those comedians that, like, yeah, she's funny. She's like a bucket of energy whenever you get to see her on stage, a bucket of energy. But she's also just so driven. Like, she has such an amazing work ethic, and she's always hustling for a new project and for things that not only she finds inspiring, but that is making people laugh. Right now, she's got an amazing show that they're doing called Ask Us Anything. It's like a fully improvised show. It's with Mae Martin and Stephanie Ellen. And sometimes it's at Largo over in Los Angeles. But it moves. It's one of those nomadic shows. But make sure you go over to her socials. I'm going to tell you right now so you can put it in your pocket. It's at the only Alana Johnston. And that's Alana with one L and Johnston with a T. Put that in your pocket. Go find out where she's doing Ask Us Anything with Mae and Steffi. Those three, I could, it's just gold. It's going to be gold on stage for the entire show. I can just tell. So, you're going to hear a couple of things that are a little bit outdated in this podcast. Like when we recorded it back in January, we were doing a script reading series and we were doing it live for a long time in Los Angeles. And then when the pandemic hit, we put it online and we did these amazing script reading events that would have people's scripts and amazing actors. And each one inspired me for days. That has since been shelved and then developed into what we know now as the Firecracker Writing Department. And we have events and workshops around that too. And the awesome Lisa Lafferty heads that up. So you might catch some things that you're like, that sounds like something that was happening in January. This is April. So I know it's a little outdated, but it's coming to you now and it's just a fantastic chat. I laughed so much with Alana and we also got into some real deep and juicy stuff together too. So stay tuned. Here it is, my chat with the one and only Alana Johnston.
Here we go. This is the co-pro of the year. We decided we wanted to get together and chat about life on my end, some work on your end, because the two go hand in hand. So we're hoping we can talk some work experience and then talk about how that makes us feel and blend the podcast.
I love it so much because I feel like, you know, we've got this Firecracker Department community and then you've got yes. the self-esteem community. And I bet there's crossover, first of all. Second of all, if there isn't, there should be.
This is it. This is mm-hmm. the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the beginning. This is like Lord of the Rings. We will be the one oh, ring yeah. to unite them all.
I was going to say, it was like, we are the Jets. Like, I thought we'd be like meet in an alleyway somewhere.
Wow. And we got like two very different references.
Yeah, because I want to dance. I mean, who's kidding who? I don't want to dance, true. Fight, kill. I just want to dance.
I love. Just want to dance and then call it a day.
Uh-huh. Can we just dance and call it a
and
day?
And that's what these podcasts are about, calling it a day.
Uh-huh.
So if it's all right with you, I'd like to kick off with my opener question that I like to start my podcast with, and then we'll hand it over to you and start yours your way. And that way, we've got the beginning of two fabulous podcasts in one.
Great. I have a feeling this is just going to be like a great catch up with my friend Alana Johnson.
You know what? Well, first question, are we friends? No. Okay. My
question is, we'll see how it goes. I don't want to be presumptuous.
My question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling in terms of self-esteem, self-love, how you're viewing you? And it can be today. It can be recently. I know the number fluctuates. So I don't know at what point I've caught you in the day. Where would you say you're at? You never know.
It's true. And I'm like trying to be present. Mm-hmm. This is tricky because trying to be present, I would say like right now, it's really good because I'm hanging out with you.
I'm excited.
I'm feeling creative. Yes. I'm excited. So I'd be like, oh, myself. And like, oh, the fact that Alana wants to talk to me. And I think Alana's one of the coolest people ever. So
Oh,
no, maybe I'm like, I'm actually in the cool club. And then if you'd asked me like... I don't know, yesterday after my acting class where I'm like, oh boy, this is hard. Creating art's hard. I would have said my self-esteem is not good, but that's just ego stuff, right? Yeah. Like if I can just recognize that's just my cute little ego that's getting like a little bit bruised.
I feel like if you can shake it off, it doesn't quite quantify self-esteem. So it's like for me, and this is just for me, the stuff about my self-esteem lingers. Like if I'm not feeling like I can be excited in a moment, but still not necessarily view myself in high regard. So right now I'm feeling good because kind of the same reasons that you said, yes, I'm excited to catch up with my friend, but I felt really grateful that you said yes, because you don't know when you reach out to someone and put yourself out there, how they're going to respond. Maybe you're going through something and don't want to talk.
Right.
You're busy working on something. I don't know. So that made me feel good to be like, oh, here we are. My friend, haven't seen in a while, but we are still friends.
that makes me feel good. Just want the audience to know you've mentioned friends at least three. So I'm holding on to it. But I would say
I'm at like a 7.5, 8.
That's pretty good.
I'm in between. Yeah. I'm feeling really positive today.
But you said like you have to let it go, which I think is interesting because I think like the things that I struggle with around self-esteem are things that I probably will struggle for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And if I pretend that like, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore, like I will always want to be the kid that's included and I will always feel like poop when I am not. Like, I don't care if it's a party that I'm not supposed to go to, I always be included. So that's just going to be my self-esteem battle all the time. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's tough. You've been on this self-esteem journey for a long time.
Very long time. I mean, I have a whole album about it. I've done a Q&A at a firecracker event back in the day when we were,
at the Improv Theater.
Yes, exactly. So it's like where I talked about self-esteem projects I was working on, it kind of started as a bit of a joke and then became very real. It's been really cool that, and I'll hand it over to you now, that I've been able to incorporate this theme in my life into work, which we've talked about in the past. Yeah, it's a brand. And we've talked about branding before.
Yeah. And what would you say? Like, I mean, gosh, I would say, when I met you, I'm going to go back a little bit because I met you, I think, through Ghost Jail, which was this amazing show in
with
Toronto.
Caitlin and Ian.
Man, that was an amazing show. Honestly, people still talk about it as like one of their favorites in improv shows. And I remember you stepped on stage and I was like, who the F is this? Super intimidated because you were so ballsy and so brave. And I was like, I just need to be around that because you were just so fucking bold. And then I watch you and I still believe that, like I watch you with the work that you're doing in Los Angeles and how you're taking stages and you're hustling. You're like one of the truest hustlers I know.
Hey man, you gotta be on these streets.
Fuck, do you ever?
I this is wild coming from you because I was already your fan before we ever met. I had seen you a million times. It was like, for me, you want to talk intimidating, Naomi. It was like, I'm not trying to create an ego fest here, but I'm saying like work-wise, I didn't even know you as a person, which you would turn out to be really cool. I was at your house all the time when Kayla was there. You invited me to your Christmas parties. It's like, I had a fantastic time getting to know you as a friend, but it was like, I was certainly in awe of you. My brother thought he would come to some shows and thought it was really cool that we were playing together because he was also a big fan of yours. Still is. So we both still are. But that was like really, it was kind of surreal to meet and to be able to do a show with you when it was like I really fanned out.
Well, I mean,
I don't do that often.
But like, I mean, I know we can go in the spiral of like adoration, because I do, like, you know, watching, I don't know. I think there's just something about you. I always say this to Matt all the time. Like, whenever I see stuff you do, I'm like, look, you just put yourself out there. Like, you don't put yourself out there timidly. I think this is the thing that I admire most about you, is you just go balls to the wall. What's the
boobs to the hooves.
I don't know. It doesn't quite work.
That's how you do it.
But you do. And like you're, and also you produce really well. Like the show that I saw in Los Angeles, I remember seeing with, and you had these dancers and it was ridiculous. Yes. It was ridiculously fun. And I would also say that you, like, the success that you've had with things like, I want my phone back, or like, that's so weird, which I know was, it's so weird, right?
No, that's so weird. That's, yeah, okay. And for the listeners out there, you'll remember I've talked about this before. It was the kids' TV show that I was a massive star on.
Yeah. I mean, I was just in awe. I still am. And I find I have to say it out loud. I think this is part of, like, you know, the self-esteem stuff is when you say it out loud of saying like, yeah, I'm intimidated by the bravery that you have, because I want to be as brave as somebody like you. So,
wow. My God, this is blowing. Like, I knew I was coming into this feeling good, but I can already say, and I do a check-in at the end of the podcast, which I wanted to do after the firecracker questions, where you're like, oh, you kind of started in this zone. How are you feeling now? I can already tell you I'm sky high. Here's why. I did not know a lick of this. This is truly news to me. And how amazing to hear something years later that you just didn't even think about. And you're like, wow, you had these thoughts about me all those years ago when I was like completely in my own headspace thinking whatever. Yeah. You know how when you're younger too in the game, it's like, oh man, everything has so much importance. Everything can influence who you are as a person. One show can crumble you. Like you said, your acting class. You came out of your acting class, which can I just say how impressive that is, that you're doing an acting class, because it truly shows your commitment to your craft, to all
it's
these
hell,
years,
Alana. It's
after all your successes, Naomi, to just be like back to basics. I applaud you. That's like not an easy thing to do, to keep actively practicing something. Yeah. It's not easy.
No, it's not. And I want to quit all the time and then I keep going. So
truth be told, I hate it.
I mean, that is like something though, you know, when people are like, what's the secret of things? And I'm like, honestly, the secret to any career, whether it's in the arts or not, is like, just keep going. Nobody can give you the answers. Nobody can show you the way. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Don't like get out of bed. Don't watch too much bad TV that isn't inspiring, and just keep going.
You know,
but I have a question for you though. Where do you think, like, because I think that if folks saw, you know, like the people that see your career and see that you're producing and, man, you're just such a great self-starter, where do you think that came from? You are. That doesn't surprise you.
Okay.
You just gave me a look of like, excuse me, but you are. You know, nobody else is like opening the doors. You're like, give me those elbows into the door.
I'm giving that look because I feel like as of late, I've had a lot of people, friends of mine, really not help me out, but give me really cool opportunities that I don't know if I would have gotten otherwise. So, but I feel like it's after years of doing everything by myself. And this will perfectly transition into what I wanted to talk to you about. But it's like, I think it comes from growing up in a small town north of Toronto where I was just truly on my own. Like, it was like, we had a little improv team in the high school and I was like, I got to get out of here and go do this legit. So it's like, I was used to, you know, it's like I went to university for a year, dropped out, moved to Toronto, then moved to Chicago on a whim. Then just like, because I was like, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
There was no one in my town that could help me. Like they did as much as they could, you know, drama teacher that really takes an interest, but you can only do the one production a year at the school. That's it. There's nothing else popping off. Just the one musical production in Orangeville.
Oh, the exact,
like, that's where I went to high school. So I was like born in Caledon, but then like I would say high school is when things really kicked up.
Yeah.
And so I was in Orangeville. Yeah. But
so
it's,
where do you
know
think
what I mean?
along the,
Like,
I do. I mean, you had to make it, but I mean, I think that the necessity, right? Necessity breeds invention, that you needed and you had a passion for what you were doing so much that you were like, well, if nobody's doing it for me, I got to do it, which I think
exactly.
has served you in Los Angeles too. From
yeah.
From,
oh, yeah. Especially here. Oh my God. Yeah. What help? It's not possible.
Yeah.
Because so, it's, and it, no, I'm not offended by it because everybody's out here hustling. Like, I'm not offended by it.
No,
yeah.
No, no, of course. But who do you think, like, was there like a tipping point to that when you went, oh, I gotta make my own dinner? There's a horrible analogy.
Yeah, definitely. I was eating dinner throughout.
Yeah,
that's
for
a
sure,
fact. Yeah, it was when I came back from Chicago where I did classes. And I came back from Chicago because I'd had this opportunity to be on Conan when he was in town, but I couldn't do it because I didn't have a green card. So I wasn't able to do it because I was just there doing student classes. So I was determined to come back to America with paperwork and get on Conan. And I did.
Yeah.
So it was like, I hustled to get that. That's So Weird Kids TV job. I hustled doing shows. I did everything I could to get that paperwork to come back here. Because I was like, never again am I going to lose an opportunity because I didn't
I
have my
that.
Shit together. You know what I
okay,
mean?
I have
So
two
it was
questions.
Like, that was it.
Two follow-up questions, ma'am.
Yeah.
One was, what was the hustle that was involved in getting That's So Weird?
Yeah. Okay. So it was doing a ton of Catch 23 and a ton of shows all
Catch
over the city.
Catch 23 is an improv show for folks that don't know.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And a fantastic one at that. There's
yeah, one of the best.
Each team gets 23 minutes over the course of the show. So one scene could be 4 minutes. One scene could be 10 minutes. It's wild. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Very fun show. But I was working to get booked on that and to reach out to my contacts that I had from that high school improv improv games that we did with like different high school teams. So that's where it was like Kurt Smeaton, Julie DeMay, Grant, Becky Johnson, like all
these
people. I met them through that. So I was like going to Catch 23 for months just watching until like I could convince them to let me on. And then I did a really good job. And from there, there was, the show was like super popular and producers from that, from this kids TV show were there and saw me a couple of times there and I had seen them and I just, you know, then we created a relationship, like a work relationship or whatever. So it was
That reminds me of like the, that kind of thing of like, I don't, there's a formula involved of like, it's talent plus practice plus opportunity slash luck. Do you know what I mean? Like you were, your muscles were limber. Like there's never been a time where I've been like eating cheesies on the couch full time for a week and then stepped into an audition and nailed it. Like
yeah,
it's usually like when my muscles are limber and I'm not wiping the cheese
so
orange.
So the short answer to your question was live shows. That's how I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Getting on as many as I could, as many as I could, because I was like, someone will see me. And it happened.
Okay, and then my second question about the Conan moment, because I know that you've been on a bunch of times, like since
a couple
then.
Times, yeah.
Was there like a moment where you were like, "Oh, that's it"? Do you know, like you know, when you like pursue a big goal and then it's never going to be what you want it to be?
No,
know?
It was incredible. I got to be on
me.
The Price is Right as well. It was
wild. That's right. I remember seeing that.
So
clip.
Just to explain it to everybody, it was this bit where it's the Conan Audiency Awards and he's giving out awards and then he's like, and the award for best audience member goes to our next contestant, Nancy. And then the Price is Right music plays and I run up thinking I'm on the Price is Right and Conan's like, Price is Right is down the street. So then it's a montage of me in the car screaming, me running up to the building and then running down the aisle. This is during a live taping with Drew Carey, running down the aisle up to the podium and betting $1.
Amazing.
So it was like the craziest, I got to hug Conan. It was the craziest experience of my life.
Yeah.
And it was like, it felt like nothing short of a huge accomplishment. And I was like, small town Canada, never thought I was going to ever be able to
get that. I don't believe
either
you.
One of these.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that you said, I never thought I would do that. I believe
no,
that, that
I never
is
even
like,
thought I'd get to the States. I didn't even
I
know
just
how
can't
to
believe
even,
that you're so ambitious.
You know what? I just, I just didn't see how it was possible. I just knew I wanted it and would try, but it was like every task seemed so daunting.
Gotcha.
It was just daunting.
Yeah.
But I figured it out. I'm a citizen now. I'm a dual citizen.
That's right. Look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, listeners can't see this, but she has an American flag behind her and she's wearing one of those beer hats.
Podcast background, I put an American flag absolutely to let people know where I stand.
We're just going to take a little break and talk to you about one of our fantastic sponsors. You know what's not easy? The housing market. It's just not. I don't know if the housing market's easy anywhere in the world, but you know who makes the housing market easier to navigate through? Fab, as in Fabrizio D'Amico, as in Fab in the City, Fab. Fab's been selling houses in the Toronto area since 1999, and that means he's been working for people and with people for 25 years. I'm gonna tell you something personal. He worked with me. He helped us buy a property. And I have to tell you, he doesn't just do it as a realtor. He does it as your friend. And that goes across the board. Anybody who works with Fab is like, it's like working with a friend. When Fab works with you, whether you're buying a house or selling a house, he's going to make sure that you get the terms you want. And he's super professional, super classy, but not stuffy. You just can tell he loves his job. And he treats the money that's coming in as if it's his money too. All his clients just have a ride. You can't help it. You can't help but spend time with Fab and have a good time. So if you're thinking about buying a property in the Toronto area, we just want to talk about what the potential is. Contact Fab at fabinthecity.com. I mean, he really does put a Fab in fabulous. All right, folks, let's get on with my fantastic talk with Alana.
Now I'm taking over. This is my question for you about firecrackers. So first, tell us a bit about it, and then let me tell you on the receiving end of somebody that is has participated in the past, what it meant for me. So tell us about it first. Tell us about this community you've built.
Yeah, so Firecracker Department started as a podcast because there weren't enough platforms for women and non-binary folks to tell their stories and have their voices heard. Mm-hmm. So we kind of leaned into that. We had some producers early on with that in that capacity. And then at one point, like, you know what happens? I had a bunch of friends that were like, if you ever need help with that. And I was like, yeah, I do. I don't have anybody to do the newsletter. I don't know how to make a website. So we had this meeting where everybody kind of came together that had said, would you like help? And what happened after the meeting was like more of like an explosion of departments. So somebody would be like, oh, I've always wanted to do like more workshops and learning about more writing for film and TV. So they started the writing department. And somebody else was like, oh, I want to do something where we're helping with mentorship. And so they started the mentorship department. And at the time there was a comedy department. And so we started all these departments. So now it's become more of a community as opposed to just a podcast.
Yes.
And so we regularly do like amazing events. Like, so every year we do like the Artist's Way group that lasts for 13 weeks. And Veronica Martin, who's the head of the mentorship department, hosts that. And it's a huge success. Like, people come in, do the Artist's Way, and then launch like art, which is key for Firecracker Department, because it's not Firecracker Fizzle Department. It's Firecracker. Yeah. Like, it's a burst, right? We should take action from it.
Yeah.
The Fizzle Department, they aren't doing well, just FYI.
They're just, well, you know, why we let them continue on is beyond me.
I don't understand. It's just,
but you know, they're there and they have people there.
They have a match sponsor that obviously is helping them. But and then we have like the writing department. Lisa Lafferty heads that up with Anita McFarlane, and they do workshops. We have like Save the Cat Book Club. So it's like a lot of like trying to challenge folks to step into creative action more. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that. We also have like when the pandemic hit, we came together as a community and we were like, what's going on? What are we going to do? So we started like a writing gym every Thursday that has continued every Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really proud. There's a group of people. It certainly isn't just me. It's like, as I said, Veronica and Liesl and Anita and then Pau in Mexico and AJ and there's somebody else in that brain of mine. Oh yeah, there's so many folks. You know, we've got Anna. There's so many folks that have stepped in to help this community move forward, and it's I'm real proud of it.
Okay, so on the receiving end of all these fantastic events and things that you've done, to be a part of the Firecracker community is so uplifting. It's like you said, it's not a fizzle. It's an explosion. Basically, it's like I got to do the script reading of like That's the amazing. Chunk of somebody's writing, like yeah. depend on what part that they wanted to share or whatever in here.
Yeah, we do a regular like script reading where the people read scripts, yeah. chunks of scripts, but then there's a discussion about it too, which I'm really jazzed about.
Yeah, which was really cool because it's like if it's depending on where it's at in your script, you can give a bit of context or be like, oh, this is in the second act, in the first act, this couple things happened or whatever, yeah. which is like, I thought was really cool just because I'm like, oh, then they can get real feedback because we know a bit more about the plot. You know what yeah. I mean? Like some people would give a little bit of context, which was great. Some people wouldn't. Some people just wanted to hear if it got some laughs or made yeah. sense on its own, which like I totally love.
Yeah.
And I, you know, got to do some and got to do Jackie's, my friends. And that was like really fun to hear that yeah. or whatever. Cause I was really excited about her script knowing about it and then getting to hear it out loud. So, you know, it gives you a chance to support your friends that are in it and then gives you a chance to support like new people that like, how would I meet them otherwise? There it was right. so like when we went to that TIFF virtual brunch.
Yeah.
And it was, first of all, huge turnout. Everyone, this was over Zoom. The Toronto International Film Festival was like a brunch and you guys had all these breakout rooms. It was fantastic.
So fun.
I got tarot card reading
yeah,
in a breakout room.
Emily like, Churchill was doing
Oh my
yeah.
God, it was so cool. It was yeah. so cool. So it was like, you still, even in the pandemic, created this sense of community where people could just come on and really talk about whatever. But it was work related, but very personalized. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you guys are doing.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's certainly not just me. I mean, this is
no huge crew involved.
This has to be like, yeah, a team of thousands, but actually just like 10 really hardworking folks. Yeah. And we do things live now. Like the script reading you were at, I think, was in Los Angeles when we were doing them in person. And we yes. had like a space at Second City. And then we went on Zoom. So now we're just in this weird place where, you know, in September, we had our first TIFF event back in person, which was okay. so, I mean, everybody was just crying the whole time because it was just like people, like it was such exciting.
I can, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a special group.
And it feels really cool too, because there's a lot of passion there. And like you already said, you're giving a voice that like, maybe we're not all going to be able to find otherwise, because you know, we do need help. Like I might've gotten this far, you know, on my own or done a lot on my own, but it's like the bottom line is for me, I can only go so far.
Yeah.
I need help and I need people that I can turn to. And that's something you've created like out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, yeah, I think
like you were just like, you know what, let's try this. And then it like totally flourished.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Alana, it's not without work, right? Like we're all just working, like
oh
for the
God.
Things
the
that
hustle,
matter to
of course.
Us. It's
of
the
course.
Hustle. But I mean, when you talk about doing things on our own, that we can't, like, even if you're going to do a one person show, somebody has to turn the lights on for you.
That's or play a track or
yeah.
help you lift a chair or something.
Yeah.
Somebody's
yeah.
always involved.
And so when you said, it's funny, you said like the opportunity to support. It's like an opportunity to support. I'm like, gosh, there is no shortage of opportunities to support people. The problem, I think, happens when we get in our egos and don't want to support because we think it's going to take something away from us or I don't know. But it's actually, it's all bull crap because it's going to come back. Like the more, I don't know, you know, like stronger together. What's the expression? It's the, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go together. It's
Never
definitely not mine.
This.
It's definitely not mine.
Wow.
So, yeah,
okay.
But just like that kind of mentality for me makes sense. And so stopping and like in the, you know, every day looking like, who are the people that are actually feeding my creative heart and reach out and be like, thank you so much. Like that does, mm-hmm. that doesn't come without effort. You know, I just saw this amazing play in Toronto called Our Place. And I spent, like, I went to see the play at Theatre Passe-Marie. And then I came home and I wrote to like everybody involved, just going, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that like fueled me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not doing
I just came back from a tour, opening for Best Stellings Comedy Special Taping and Mae Martin's Comedy Special
Taping. Amazing.
Separate trips. And it,
amazing with M-A-E.
Here we go.
Really. You're
sorted.
Welcome, Mae.
That's the name. That's going to be the title. Yeah, for some reason, I'm naming it.
Second tour.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm naming it. They were like, we got to get Atlanta involved. And I was we do. But it felt really cool that, like, I'd been working on shows all this year, developing material. And then it's not like anyone did me any favors, but certainly my friends had been supporting me the whole time. And then we're like, hey, you'd be perfect to come do this. Or like, oh, I've seen what you've put together. Come do this. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's like, it's mutually beneficial. I'm warming up the crowd. You know me, Naomi. I'm popping off.
I don't know anybody else that's better.
I'm popping off.
Seriously.
I'm having a blast.
That show, I Want My Phone Back, could have been a real stinker.
That was wild.
But you're like charming and hilarious. And yeah, you don't want anybody else warming up your crowd.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the support of the show. It was, for those of you who don't know, it was this web show. And then it was on Facebook called I Want My Phone Back, where I would take people's phones and like find scandals or like, you know, raunchy things and be like, I'm going to post this on Facebook for $5. Like I would give them the money. And the things people let me do, like when we took their phones.
I know.
Real. Like it was real.
I can't believe, I mean, I feel like that's such American culture, to be honest. Like people just want to get involved. And
so many people wanted to be on the show. Like
I don't think Canadians would do it. Do you think?
What scandal? Show me the scandals on the phone.
Oh, somebody
too clean. Everybody's
instead
too clean.
Of sugar in the brownie mix, eh?
Yeah.
That's the
too
scandal.
Clean. They write all their scandals out on paper in Canada. It's all handwritten scandals.
Right.
That's why they keep getting exposed. You know, they're leaving those papers everywhere. They're not filing anything away. Okay, so now here's a question. Let's to flip back to self-esteem for a second, still involving Firecracker, is how did it and does it affect your thoughts about you? Like, for example, are you swayed by, say, not that an event doesn't go well, but maybe doesn't go the way you think it's going to, or you tried to plan something and it didn't work out, something within this work world that you're doing, how much does it affect you? Because some guests I've had on in the past have said when they're not working, they're feeling really bad about themselves as a person. So I'm wondering, you've built something that's very positive, but does it sometimes take a toll on you?
Yeah, great. I would think... well, this is the thing about starting your own thing is nobody's telling you what to do. We're the boss of us, right? I'm the boss of me.
Right.
I can wake up in the morning and work until midnight if I really want to on Firecracker Department or on anything else. I could work on my self-tapes or I could work on this. It's up to me. I think that's also sometimes the problem, right? I found that in living in Los Angeles, where that is the hustle, and the hustle is like 9 to midnight. And you're like, wait a second, what about just breathing and absorbing life a little bit?
Because there is no weekend. It's all every day.
You could write one more letter. You could tweet one more thing. You could post one more thing that might garner some interest and attraction. I mean, it's all, if you kind of keep turning it back to art and keep making it feel like it's like, I'm creating art. So then it doesn't feel hustle-y. But I think the line's real, real blurry and challenging. So when you talk about like esteem, I mean, I don't know. I think. Well, gosh, I'd be lying if I threw a party for Firecracker Department and it was like packed. I'd be like, this is great. My party's a success. And if there was not that many people, I'd be like, ooh, this stings.
Yeah.
This stings.
Okay.
But I would also say that I'm trying to make those stinging things more lessons. So when we don't have huge numbers